Welcome back to That 590 Show. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is longtime NFL journalist. You can follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. Read him at BalzerFootball.com and hear him every weekend on the Hall of Fame show with Gil Brandt on the NFL channel on SiriusXM. Howard, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Doing well. I do want to mention, and I kept thinking of this every time, but actually Gil Brandt does not do the Hall of Fame show with me. It's actually a Joe Harrigan
of the
Hall of Fame, along with a rotating co-host, Gold Jacket Hall of Famer, each week. And in fact, we're doing the show tomorrow. We actually tape it. It played about five or six times throughout the weekend, including tomorrow night. And the Gold Jacket co-host tomorrow is, I'm pretty sure it's Tim Brown.
Oh, wow.
So we're looking forward to that.
Someone who took forever to get into the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. What is it with the Hall of Fame? And you're a voter. It seems like a lot of times with the receivers, it takes them a little bit to get in unless you're Jerry Rice.
It does. There's no doubt about it. And I think it's because a big part is you get these guys that come up around the same time. And it's hard to differentiate. It's hard to separate, especially in this era now with astronomical numbers that these guys have put on the board. And so, you know, there was Tim Brown, you know, Chris Carter, Andre Reed, who were both finalists for quite a long time. And I think what happens, quite frankly, is that when you start voting to get from the 15 to the 10 and then to the 5, it's hard to get a consensus. And so some people vote for Brown and some people vote for Carter and some people vote for Reed. Sometimes none of them are able to move on, so that's what ends up happening. And finally, I'm trying to remember if it was Reed or Carter that went in first, but finally when one of them went in, then that just kind of opened the door for the others, and we saw them get in relatively quickly. So it's only going to get harder. I mean, we've had Isaac Bruce, of course, now a finalist for the first time. We've had Terrell Owens twice. Randy Moss is coming into the group next year. So it's only getting tougher and tougher with these receivers and with the numbers that they put up.
One receiver that retired in the past couple of years, Calvin Johnson, Megatron, what do you think his odds are of getting into the Hall of Fame? I know it's a pretty big debate because, he didn't have a very long career, but, I mean, in the career, the short span that he had, he was the dominant wide receiver.
No doubt about it. And so I think he will go in. Once again, the question is, how long will it take? Will he be a first-time guy? And it might be tough for that to happen. And, I mean, it took Marvin Harrison, you know, a few years. You know, Reggie Wayne's another guy from that Colts team that's coming up. And I would put Calvin Johnson and pure ability probably, you know, above those guys. But the reality of it is that it becomes tough. And then the other part of it is, who else is in the class that year? How many are wide receivers? And then how many first-time eligibles are there? So there's so many different factors that enter into it in terms of who manages to make it to that final five and then get elected.
The two big news stories in the NFL today, one of them is that the Bills name Brandon Bean as their new GM. They got him from Carolina. What have you heard about Brandon Bean, and is this going to be a good fit for Buffalo?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, I think that he comes highly regarded as a guy who's been with the Carolina Panthers for a number of years, most lately as assistant general manager. And so he's considered a very good personnel guy. Now, what's interesting is when there were other GM jobs that have been opened in the league over the last few years, I don't recall seeing his name too often. But, you know, sometimes the timing is just right for a certain guy, and it could be connections too. I mean, let's remember that Sean McDermott, who's now the Bills head coach, and I'm sure he had a certain amount of say, or at least let's call it, contributing to who the GM was going to be. Because the one thing you want is you want your coach and your GM to be able to work together. And of course, McDermott came to the Bills from Carolina. So there's obviously a connection there. And so, you know, McDermott had a big role in this draft for the Bills, with Doug Whaley basically being frozen out of of any real decision making. And so I think this is going to be pretty much a collaboration between these two guys.
The other big news story today is that a judge has erased a 2013 murder conviction against former NFL star Aaron Hernandez, ruling that case law in Massachusetts has long established that defendants who die before their appeals are heard should have their convictions vacated. Obviously, this is something that he did in order to protect his estate for his fiance and his daughter. Just a sad story all the way around with Aaron Hernandez. I feel bad for the Odin Lloyd family, who now have to, I guess, go on living with this crime unsolved, even though everybody knows what happened.
Yeah, and I think it might be to say it's unsolved, unless there are those who believe that Aaron Hernandez didn't do it, which I guess everyone's entitled to their opinion. So I think in terms of the family, they realize what happened. They realize that, you know, Aaron Hernandez was going to spend a whole lot of time in jail. Who knows? I mean, I don't know that how many people really expected that this would that it could have been reversed on appeal. But you never know. You never know. You know, I mean, let's remember, a certain amount of this, and those things aren't supposed to have anything to do with it, but a certain amount of the case that Hernandez is in there for was linked to the other situation that he was charged with and was acquitted, recently. So how much that affects it, I don't know. But I'm sure Lloyd's family is secure in the belief that Hernandez did it, and that just because by a quirk of a law, the conviction is wiped away. I don't know if that would really affect whatever closure they have. And you know, Aaron Hernandez is not around anymore. So I guess that's the one thing for them that they can take some solace in.
Howard Balzer joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. H, you are in Birmingham to work on the Lindy's Pro Football magazine. This is your 25th time there as editor. What's the story that everybody down there is talking about right now?
Well, I don't know if there's a story we're all talking about. We're just trying to get a magazine done, which I always marvel, actually, to be honest, Matt, each year. This is a small staff. I mean, there's Lindy, who's a real person, Lindy Davis, who's the owner and general manager, president of the company, whatever you want to call him. And then there's, you know, two full-time people in the office work on the magazine and graphics and a lot of different things. And then there's some, you know, part-time people that also, you know, design pages and all that, you know, off-site. But I would say there's about five, including myself. There's like, and not including all the writers, of course, but there's five or six people that put this all together. And we turn this thing around in 2 weeks, basically, once the draft is over, and it'll go to the printer. We'll wrap this thing up on Friday, and it's a 240-page magazine.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so in terms of what anybody's talking about, it's pretty much, there's not much time to talk. It's all about, you know, getting all the stuff, you know, pretty much everything is in terms of stories, and now it's turning them out and proofreading and, you know, making sure that there's as few mistakes as possible. And it's a pretty amazing process each year, like I said, that we're able to turn this around, you know, every within 2 weeks of the draft every year.
One story that's still out there, and it's going to be out there until he either retires or he signs with the team, and even if he signs with the team, it's going to be a story, and that's Colin Kaepernick. Now, with Jay Cutler now, quote-unquote, retired to the broadcast booth, even though I think he'll come back, who do you think is more likely to sign with the team? I know it's not going to be anytime soon. It may not be until there's someone injured in camp, but who do you think is more likely to get signed? Will it be RG3 or will it be Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, good question. You know, you bring up RG3 and, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is out there. Don't know if how much interest there possibly could be in him. And you're right, it could very well come down to an injury before a team decides to do anything. You know, I thought, you know, with Cam Newton's injury situation in the offseason, I thought that Kaepernick could be a potential fit for Carolina. I still believe it could be a potential fit for Seattle. And when you consider that they're only backup now, and they went into last year with the rookie undrafted free agent Boykin as TCU, he's their only backup. And so you would say, the reason I think it's a fit is because the Seahawks do some of the things that Kaepernick can also do. And that's the one thing that many forget when they try to make a big issue of why he isn't signed and all it's blackballed and, you know, and all these things. It's probably true of RG3 too. If you're going to bring in a backup, as a guy who's going to be a backup, are you going to have a different offense for him than you do for the main guy? That's unrealistic. It's just not going to happen. And so I think that's the biggest thing that has kept Kaepernick from signing with anyone, and probably Robert Griffin too. So we'll see if they land anywhere. But, you know, like you said, if there is an injury, a lot depends on who the backup is on that team, or does the backup get injured and it could be a good fit. So, you know, but it's not guaranteed. I mean, would it surprise me if he's not signed throughout, you know, training camp? No, it really wouldn't. And I said, for all the reasons I've talked about.
Howard, if we're talking about backup quarterbacks, but if your back is messed up, where do we need to go?
Oh, there's no question about it, man. Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness, 567-7300, a great place with all kinds of state-of-the-art things that they can do to get you right, whether it's, you know, adjustments, or whether it's manipulation. They have this great Hakomed therapy that's really amazing. And so if you've got any kind of pain, even if it's just a little nagging thing, you don't think, it's no big deal. Well, you never know if it's going to get worse. And so give them a call. You can get a $97 evaluation for only $57. And if there's stuff going on inside that that you don't know about, they'll find it. And they'll have, especially if it's caught early, they'll have ways that can fix it. So do that before it gets worse, because that's where it gets really difficult. And they have a whole bunch of natural supplements as well to help deal with a lot of the things that can nag you. So again, it's Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness, 567-7300.
Howard, thank you so much for making time for us again, sir, and we look forward to our conversation again next week.
All right, man. Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks, Howard. That is the great Howard Balzer. You can follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. Let's head to that 590 Show Sports Update desk and our very own Matt Rocchio.
And let's go ahead and start this one off with the live score in action right now. It is the Senators and the Rangers. 10 minutes left in that first period. The Senators have jumped out to their first period lead. Excuse me. Mike Hoffman puts in his first goal. That is the first lead. That is the first lead for the Senators to take in this series in Game 6. Again, Ottawa leading this series 3-2 here in Game 6. A little bit earlier today, the Rockies down the Cubs 10-4. And also, STL native and now former Los Angeles Kings goalie Ben Bishop has been traded to the Dallas Stars for Montreal's fourth-round pick in this summer's draft. A judge in Massachusetts has agreed to vacate Aaron Hernandez's conviction in the 2013 murder of Odin Lloyd. And later on tonight, you will see the Rockets and the Spurs in Game 5 of their Western Conference Series, all nutted up at 2 apiece. And the other game tonight... That's the one game in the NHL tonight. Again, Senators and the Rangers, 1-0 lead there for the Senators. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report. They cut down the schedule so much from that over the last week. I got so used to two games apiece on both ends, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, it was just like, nope, one game each.
Yeah, we were really hoping to be talking about a Game 7 tonight, but that didn't happen.
That would have been fun.
Yes, it would have been. The two best words in the sporting dictionary are Game 7. We'll take a commercial break and then come back up on the other side. Alexander Goot, freelance writer, who had a great piece about the recent layoffs at ESPN at Medium.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.